it was a bigger country.
She comes a long way.
I come a long way. I'm another daughter.
Yeah.
I had a couple of women of you sitting there. I was like, I had just a slight feeling.
I'm another daughter from Seattle.
Yeah.
But I'm really from here. I'm really from here.
And that made it on the tape. Good morning. It's Sunday, July 10th.
Lord, you put on my heart this morning before the song played to pray that, or to start the prayer with, you are an awesome, awesome God.
Yes.
And we love you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would continue to mold us,
yes,
try us in your fire, Lord, and create truth in us, Lord, that we can go forth and proclaim that truth for you, Lord, as a people in the last days. Lord, just bring us to that place. Give us anointing, Lord, and fill us with your spirit and with your love, Lord. And let that go forth in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe before anybody gets started, I was thinking about what we, when we were discussing Moses in Numbers 12, and I noticed something that I thought, wow. And this was in the setting where Miriam and Aaron decided to speak up against Moses, acted as if, they spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So, anyway, I was thinking, if you want to be a Moses, there's one particular attribute you better have. Now, the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. I don't fall in there. That is quite a witness of someone. That the Lord,
very humble what, you say?
Huh?
Very, very humble what?
Humble above all men.
Okay.
More than all men who were on the face of the earth. So, if you can step into those shoes, go for it. And the other thing, real quick, in that story, though, in that setting is, you know, Moses never brought up Aaron and Miriam. God did. So, when they said that to him, instead of him going, Lord, what are these people saying? Go ahead, you know, teach them a lesson. No, he didn't say anything. But the Lord knew what was going on, and he took care of it. And that's where Moses' faith was always, in the Lord, for the most part. I mean, he made little mistakes, weaknesses, like we do, you know. But that was the humble part of Moses. He just, and you know, obviously he accepted Aaron's forgiveness, you know, to plead for forgiveness. Because after that, it was still Moses and Aaron that God used all the time through that ministry. So, you know, God forgave, Moses forgave, Aaron repented, and I'm sure Miriam repented. She was a leper for, what was it, 6 days? Or something? Anyway, she had to go outside the camp, and then when she came back in, then the people could continue to move on their journey to the promised land. So anyway, that's all I had on that. Just kind of, I had to go read it again after we had discussed it. It just, it's quite an example.
A couple of things. I was just writing the golf cart on, what's his name, Warren? he stopped me just to say hi, whatever. And you know what? He's always being the sweetest guy there is. And just sweet. I mean, he starts talking and there's sweetness coming out of him, there's sweetness in him. There's just sweetness.
Yeah.
He's a sweet guy. And one thing he said, you know what, Bob? He said, I think that one day, soon, he says, we are all going to be united, doing something. I said, him. He's going to be doing something with some of us, I don't know. Or us with him, or him with us, or
yeah.
All together.
Glory.
And I didn't make a big deal of it.
Who is that?
Warren Melbourne.
But that's a big deal to hear.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I went to read a scripture, and this impacted me so much. I could read from way before, and way after, but I'm only going to read a little bit. However,
where are you reading from?
Oh, I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I'm going to start on verse, should be my other Bible on the glass, where are the other? No. What, you know, when you read this. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. Yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. Or had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, and I don't know where it's written, I look for it, couldn't find it. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love them. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Now, what does this, Corky, what does this mean, especially this part? I have not seen nor hear heard, nor enter into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for us to love. What does that mean to you? For real, I'm just going to take a quick question. No.
You're not trying to embarrass me, right?
I'm not embarrassed.
When I read that, I think what it's trying to speak to is that you don't know all the good things that the Lord has in store for you.
Keith, what do you understand out of that? What's he talking about? What he's talking to?
I'm not able to hear.
Okay.
We should put you in the middle.
Yeah. Anyways, when I read this, I have always thought of it as in the afterlife, after this life. Okay, because he says, I has not seen, nor ear heard, nor even entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. And I always read this, thinking, yeah, when we die, it's going to be awesome. Yes, it is, indeed. It is going to be awesome. But this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about it's going to be revealed to us or to somebody, this thing. And I'm not here. I am not here. But I am so close. I am so close. Everyone is so close. You guys have no idea how close we are. We are the closest we have ever been. I have not seen, nor ear heard it, nor have entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for those who love Him.
You know what? I love Him. I love the Lord. And He has prepared something for me. And I am so close. And I am not alone in this. We are so close. Man, grab a hold of this. Reread it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 at the beginning. We are so close. I myself feel good. And I have read this all my life again, thinking of the afterlife, the hour when we die. No, this is for this life, for right now. And I've never seen it like that. And when I saw it, I burst into tears. I was a fountain of tears. It took me a while to be able to read it to Candy. And I had to have Candy read it for me. But God has something for us, and we don't have it. We don't have it. We have a lot of it. I don't know what. We are so close. Mark my words. You know what? Mark my words. Mark these words. They are so close. It's going to happen. And when it does, whatever your name is, any one of you, is you're going to be a different being. I'm going to be different. And we're not close as in we are close. It could be today. It could be today.
It is today.
There
is a, my Bible has a scripture setting to go with that.
Okay.
And it's interesting because it does make it for now.
Okay.
It's in Isaiah 64.
Yeah.
Verse 4, since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen, and this really hit me, any God besides you, who asks for the one who wants him, waits for him, you meet him who rejoices and does righteousness, who remembers you in your ways. So, that's saying happening present.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
When he had me read that, was it yesterday? He was like, what does this do? And I said, well, I know, because I've heard many sermons, that pertains to heaven.
Yeah.
That's always been brought up with, God, ear has not heard and eye has not seen, for what God has prepared for us when we get there, when those mansions are being built, and what God has prepared, so that we look to that as a longing, as an afterlife. It's kind of been an afterlife scripture, and it's not an afterlife scripture. But I knew my whole life that was an afterlife scripture. You know, I don't think about the scripture all the time, but when I have heard it, it's always been in heaven and blah, 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 because I have not seen, and, you know, it's for now.
They give another reference too, but I think that has to do with why people, because it's in Isaiah 65:17. For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. It goes on more about Jerusalem, but when you read the other one, you can't automatically say it's afterlife.
No, because if you keep going, it says it will be revealed to us in our spirit. I mean, it will be revealed to us now. It doesn't say once we
are
somewhere.
Yeah, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit.
Right, and it won't be revealed to us when we're in heaven. In heaven, we're there.
Yep. Good point. Yes.
Not so much spirit revealing because you're observing. I also a little thing that makes you maybe think in this setting that this is for now, because it goes on and kind of chastises for which none, you know, verse 8, for which none of the prince of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified it.
Right.
Which is talking about something now and not, you know,
right,
the afterlife. But, well, but this is another way of saying just how great is a promise that the Lord has for all of us. And we need to be constantly reminded, because we have so many things that will want us, want to bring us down into the world instead of keeping our eyes focused on Him, and we're working our way through this world. But glory to the revelation and the impact.
It was very impactful. And it's a simple scripture, but I always read it with this twist. Now, but there's nothing wrong with the twist, because it is amazing, the next life. It's so much more amazing. But the things that God has for us in this life,
But, Amen, how much more exciting is it that these are something we can, through His Spirit, can get today?
I think it's easy for us as humans to put on a coat of suffering, each one of us, whether it's a toothache or a heartache or whatever. It's easy to put on the coat of suffering, like, well, I'm suffering in this life, but the great things God has prepared for me, and you know what I mean, and in suffering, and I'm going to be suffering, but the great things are in heaven, and I'm going to be suffering. And if you put your mind in suffering, you're going to suffer. You're gonna suffer if you put your mind in suffering, for sure.
Yeah, there's a big group of people believe if you're not suffering, you're not gonna get there.
Right.
It's a requirement.
Right. And Pablo and I were talking the other day, and I, you know, it's been mentioned a few times by a few different people, like, well, maybe Pablo, this is the thorn in your flesh, or thorn in your flesh for right now, or maybe this will be, you know, your thorn in your flesh. And I told Pablo, I said, you know, that's true, but it kind of, The Paul thorn in your flesh kind of gives people kind of like an excuse and out for their own suffering, or their lifetime. Kind of gives an excuse, because that's one time in the Bible Paul had a thorn in his flesh. But what about the 99 other times where people were healed, the touch of the garment, healed. And he went in and he healed them all. What about that? Why do we have to put ourselves with putting on that one coat of, we're like Paul? I mean, we're that amazing that we're like Paul? You know what I mean? How about if we don't put ourselves with Paul, and we put ourselves with, they suffered for a long time, and then they did this, or whatever. So that's where I want to be, is I want to put myself in the top group of where God is doing, not in like, wow, there was one person down here. No. And if I remain content in any of those situations, then I'm good. But that's, you know, I told Pablo, I said, you don't have to accept that as, because you don't ever know. You know, God can do anything at any point. And God allows trials and tribulations. That's why it says, be happy with your affliction, you know, take joy in this, whatever. Nowhere in there does it say, and you know what? Just be like Paul.
Until God tells you, it's okay. I think the other thing to think about, or because all that's true, I'm into that, but Paul was getting pretty spectacular spiritual revelations.
Right.
And I suspect, just quirky talking, that the thorn in his flesh was to help Paul stay humble.
Right.
Whereas other people who had miracles, they weren't also trying to go off and save all of the Gentiles. And I think the actual miracle and the healing was more impacting for everyone else. Paul, because he was seeing everything he was seeing,
yeah,
I think he was being reminded a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's true. You have any amen to what you said?
For what it's worth, I hear a guy on TV saying something about Paul that I knew, but I never really put it together, and he Paul heals somebody in a ship or something. But that's the only account of Paul healing someone. He just preached. He was a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
He never, there's no account. He said, I don't even know how many I baptized. What do you even know? He doesn't. So Paul, his focus was in the preaching. You know, different with Jesus. He was a preacher and a worker of miracles. That's the difference. But that's what Paul did. He just preached and preached and preached and preached and preached. And a lot of us, you know, oh man, I want the gifts. I want miracles. I want to show people. Whatever. But what saves your soul is believing what you're hearing. You know, that's what saves your soul, not a miracle. Nobody, according to the scriptures, is saved because of a miracle, of a healing, you know. It helps, but you have to believe something after you hear whatever you're hearing or receive a miracle.
The thing that has affected me over the years in where it says, you know, eye has not seen, but it says the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, for them that love Him. And it's like, if we love Him, and we also love His appearing. And a lot of the church, I think, is panicky that He might come. You know, because they're not ready. And so God wants us to be in a constant state of being ready. And I can't say that I always have been, and I feel that I'm in a good place now. But I've been fearful over the years because I believed the scriptures, but I didn't know my condition. You know, just how do I stack up? How do I relate to all this? And somehow, whatever God has done has changed the picture. There's more of a constant relationship, expectancy. And I'm looking for the Lord to come. And I think maybe all of us are, but I want Him to come. And not just to escape the conditions around us, but which would help. But Jesus said in the 17th chapter of John, and He says, "Eternal life, or life eternal, is the way it's said in King James, but eternal life is to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You've sent." He did not include Himself in the only true God aspect of it, because He's not. He's the Son of God. He's also the Son of Man. And I had a conversation with the first fellow I ever witnessed to. This is, you know, 50 years ago. And he called me up the other day, and him and his wife, and he wanted to know what new revelations. And I go, well, I haven't seen him for a few years. And I wanted to tell him, you know, we discovered that Jesus is a man. And I thought, you know, I didn't know how to do it. I thought, there's too much water been under the bridge. I don't know how, where he's thinking. And I thought, you know what? I have no excuse. I know too much. Too much had been revealed. And so somehow we're going to do it. Somehow we're gonna, I told the fellow that just as Scott and Bonnie Hartley. And what we should do is take a tape and put all the scripture references and stuff. I mean, they're scholars. They know the Bible. Mm-hmm. But the church world has been so influenced by false doctrines and by crazy things that they've put into it that Jesus, you know, even some close people that I know, Jesus is fully God and fully man. But you know what? There's not anywhere that says that. And, but you know what? If you have been taught something long enough, it sticks in you. It's hard to believe anything else because it's part of you. And I don't know how they are. I have no idea. But, anyway, I felt like, you know what, accept me or not, whatever. The thing is that the Bible says, speaking the truth in love. And that is the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and not God the Son. That's the truth. And when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and had a phenomenal experience, and Scott, they are part of the Lutheran church that we were in, and Scott and Bonnie were in charge of a stewardship drive, and which I didn't even know what that meant, but it's actually, I think, to gain finances for the church. I don't know. And I went over to see him, and I'd just been filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's not a good time to talk about stewardship. And all I could do is tell him about what had happened. And finally, Scott says, you know what? He said, we're not going to get into stewardship. He said, why don't you just go ahead and tell us what happened? And so I did. And that night, as they were sleeping, Bonnie got filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead of speaking in tongues, and it woke him up, you know, and it made him so jealous that he wanted it. And it wasn't too long before both of them were filled with the Spirit. But they're sweethearts.
Yesterday, when Dad and I were talking, and he said, and you do this every time I come. Mm-hmm. He likes to prepare me for coming to the service because it's not like every service out there. And he's not really being apologetic, but he is. And he kept talking, so I didn't have a chance to tell him that actually
this is church, because we moved to a new town. Keith and I moved from Seattle to Spokane a year ago. And in getting to know the community, something that we have done is stopped at some different churches here and there. And so you can all imagine, and I say this with as much respect as I can, that when you try and tell me that, well, you know, it's small, and I'm thinking, there's a number of places out there, and of the ones that I visited, and I hope this isn't offensive to anyone anywhere, but of the ones I visited, what they are is you go in and they're perfect. Everybody's perfect. They look perfect. They smell perfect. They talk perfect. And what it is, and this is a bit of a judgment, but it tells you how at home I am right here with you, and here's what I see. A lot of these churches you go in, and what they are is Band-Aid factories. Whatever you're thinking and feeling, they're putting Band-Aids all over you, so by the time you leave, you're all taken care of, and out you go to go live your life. You come in to get Band-Aided so that you can go out and do whatever it is you're pursuing in this life. By contrast, coming in here, this is where Band-Aids get ripped off. Mm-hmm. Everything is exposed. It's just people who love the Lord. And this is where you rip off the Band-Aid, because the Lord wants to heal us. He wants to heal our bodies. He wants to heal our spirits. He wants to heal our minds. And he wants us to be raw. We're not supposed to look good. We're not supposed to impress anyone. What purpose would that serve? It doesn't serve any purpose. We're to be raw is what we're to be. And another side note, in some of the discussions of some of the groups of people that I hang around, there's a lot of discussion about pre-trib rapture, and there's all these different variations, and I can't help but thinking that instead of us trying to get ourselves ready for whatever we think, can you imagine us actually being able to comprehend what it is that God has prepared for us? We don't have the tools. But yet, there's this belief out there that we do. That if we work real hard, we're going to create some tools, and we're going to be able to figure it out. And then we're going to be able to please him. And what this small body, and I think of Gideon's army, didn't it just have to be whittled down, whittled down, whittled down, whittled down, whittled down? And that's what I think of. And it's not because there's any perfection. I think we all know too much about each other, right? Right?
I know a lot about myself.
That's fair, Ken. But we all know that. We know that, in fact, if one of us suddenly, something fabulous happened, we'd all be shocked. Right? I would be shocked. I would be shocked with me. I would. Because we just know. But what there is there's such an eagerness to see him and to know him and to be known by him. There's such an eagerness, and I think that that's the sweetness that's in his presence. His presence is here. And I, you know, listening to Pablo talk about how close how close. I keep seeing a door. And, you know, I don't know what it means, but I keep seeing a door. That I think there's a door that we're walking through. And I, you know, I got nothing more than that. But I keep seeing a door that there's such a desire to be, just to know him. And for the people that we're going to come in contact with, I think that sincerity and just being willing to let go of whatever we thought in the past, just letting go of that. What does he want to do? Who does he want to touch? And I got to talk to Candy and Pablo on Friday, and about the people in the hospital that you just got to pray with. What if we weren't too busy, that was our priority? Just praying with people, because the faith that through the years, all the things that we know, if we don't have faith for the healing and touching souls, what are we doing? If the faith isn't there, and I see us getting close to that, there's just such a belief that he's going to do something. And it's not, I don't think we're waiting on him. It's us. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just can feel something going in there, but I did have to giggle. I never did finish that conversation with you about, no, this is where it's at, you guys. I'm telling you. It's where it's at.
You know, going back to Warren, it's like, okay, so talking to him, and again, he's sweet. He's sweeter than sweet. You can taste that when you listen to him and you're talking. And well, finally, God has opened the door so I can talk to him. Who do I think I am? Who do I think I am? Finally, the door is open for him to talk to me. How about that? How about that? Who am I that I need to go save the world? How about he's got something for me? How about that? Get the mentality, Pablo, out of your head. Seriously, who am I to be the one that's going to talk to this person and find out good? No. Maybe, yeah. But you know what? Likely, no. Likely, no. I'm ready. I am ready. I want to see him. I want to move in with him. It was very, you know what? It was 2 minutes talking to him. And I couldn't handle it. Oh, it was so good. It was so good. And it was, you know what? He doesn't even know what he does. It was all God. And it was so good. And like Shelly said, we are in the door. The door is open. And we are transitioning from one place to another. The door is open. We are walking through the door. We just have to get past the door. Just pass it, guys. The days will come when the things that I'm speaking will mean nothing. It will be a thought so different of how we know it. We're going to be hungry. We are going to want to hear other people. We're going to want to. Not like today. We got to go save everybody and help them out. You know, straighten them out. You know, because you want to do the right things for God. Well, go right next to me and see how you stand right next to me. Oh, yeah, there you are. Oh, my God.
You know, people, Christians, tend to walk through this side with what they know. And, of course, what they know, they don't control. The Spirit controls. But what you do control is your heart. You know, and it's your heart that you can reflect back towards someone else, or you can steal someone else's heart to you. And that's what God says he's looking for. He's looking for someone with a pure heart. And we are accountable to have that heart to be open. And as you just said, you know, maybe it's not so much that I'm going to be leading. You know, the Lord is waiting on me to be able to receive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%.
I have a question. Would you want to have God talk to you into your natural mind or to your spiritual mind?
Spiritual.
So, I brought this up at a little Tuesday night meeting. There was only about three of us there, but it was just, I was praying about it in the morning, and I was, while I was praying, most of the time I was speaking in tongues, and came to the meeting, and I started dwelling on the fact that God said, and I will speak to this people with stammering lips and another tongue. Well, if he speaks to you with another tongue, how are you going to know what he's speaking? You know? And it says, and we speak in tongues and we pray not, you know, because we don't know what to get. And what came to me was, what if you speaking in tongues is God speaking to you?
Mm-hmm.
Not all the time, you know, because there's, you can pray in tongues and know you're praying for some situation or whatever. But what if you're just praying in tongues? And God's speaking to you, but not, he's speaking to your spirit.
Yes.
So I said, I told Cody, I said, well, I'm throwing this out. And then I said, because I don't know. But now I wanted to throw it out to everybody else and just let you discern what could be there or couldn't be there. But and I'm not believing, trying to, I don't want to make anybody feel condemned because you don't have it at the time of speaking to you. But it's going to come. But maybe the desire will be greater if you know that it's possibly God wanting to speak to you with stammering lips and another tongue.
Well, you throw it out there, and I certainly catch it.
Isn't there a scripture that says the Spirit will discern?
What helped trigger that a little was when Pablo said, yeah, I was praying in tongue. And then all of a sudden he said, I was praying in a different tongue.
Right, that's what I was going to bring up is when you were just describing when he was in the ER that night, you know, I've never heard him speak in tongues, and I'm a loud prayer, you know, and so I was just praying over him, and all of a sudden, and he said, he didn't even want to talk. He's like, I was asking questions, he's like, I can't talk. I just need to try to fall asleep. I said, okay. So I just started quietly praying over me, you know, and then all of a sudden I heard this thing, and I'm thinking, ooh, I get to hear him speak in tongues, you know, and then I didn't say anything. You know, and then when we were on the drive home, I said, you know, I've never heard you speak in tongues. He says, baby, that wasn't my tongues. He goes, I don't know what it was. He had no energy to do it. He didn't even want to answer my question about are you comfortable. He says, I had no energy, and I was very tired, and I was in so much pain. He says that I was speaking a tongue that I don't know, but I was then quoted them we're reading Bible about where the Spirit gives utterance or that you know that Jesus will intercede. You know, and I said, well, maybe it was just the Spirit was interceding for you. He couldn't do it himself. You know what I mean? But yes, I mean the same that the Lord was speaking to him. I mean, he was calm down. They didn't do anything but give him magnesium. They couldn't do anything more for him. Nothing changed. We drove home. We stopped Quick Trip at midnight and ate a banana and a yogurt. That was the night we prayed for those two people. But God did something. So maybe, yes, maybe it was God.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was his mouth, but it was still.
You know, and with any gift, I think some people are probably use it to a greater length than others, which is fine, because that's what God says. You know, we all are given something. Every part of the body contributes one way or another. I just feel I've been blessed with I don't know how many different kinds of tongues I've prayed in, because I try to, you know, I try to open up to it. And that's not me, you know. I mean, that's I appreciate that gift so much, because every time I do it, no one can tell me there's not a God. Because how did I get this? I didn't, you know, it was like, and yeah. So for me, this is just for me, it's my greatest testimony to me that there is a God, you know. And then it's all the other things that go with it. But and it's, you know, for a while, Keith was talking about it a lot, and I was going, geez, you know, are we going to put this much emphasis on something, you know? I mean, you know, and, but then when I just said, okay, I want to be open, you know, and I was praying to the Lord, and then it's like, well, it's, how does God speak to you in another tongue? If there's no interpretation, which there can be, and that's great, that's for the edifying of the body. That's the other thing. There's two different phases of everything. There's when you're assembled together, it's all for the body. That's what the ministry should be doing. And, you know, Paul says that. Prophesying is greater because people can hear the word of God or whatever.
Yeah,
they're edified. But otherwise, it can be an open door to all kinds of things of God, you know. And you don't even need to know. It's like, now, do I know what he's saying to me? Not in my natural, but I think it's really benefiting my spiritual side, you know. And I know I get edified. I mean, I do. But it's so, you know, it's you don't want to put all the emphasis on it, but it's a tremendous gift.
You know, when I'm in my shower is when I take things to the Lord. And I have different times, especially in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, different people I intercede over or whatever. When I'm in the shower and I'm praying in tongues, I will find myself singing or praying in tongues, and it's a different.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wait, that's not my normal routine or normal, you know, rhythm. And then there's different times that I'm praying for someone else, really interceding for a specific person, crying, laughing, pleading, almost falling to the shower floor. And it's a different tongue that I can't make up. It just comes out of me. You know, I remember watching my mom with tongues interpretation. And it's not that I'm giving a tongue interpretation, but it's a tongue, and it's not the same. And so I can relate with, I know my prayer tongue. You know,
yeah.
But different times, and I'm thinking, I feel I know all these languages, and I can't even learn Spanish.
Yeah,
I have like no brain capacity to learn Spanish. But I really does edify my spirit, and it touches me, because I don't even know what more to pray, what else to say, nothing. But
yeah.
It feeds me, but I. Mm-hmm.
So it's like. Says pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm.
That's as close as I can get,
mm-hmm.
And I don't do it 24 hours a day. But you can be walking anywhere, doing anything, and you could be praying in tongues, and it doesn't distract from what you're doing, and what you're doing doesn't distract from that. I don't think.
That's what I said before. Is like praying in tongues like a loop tape in my head.
Yeah.
Because my mom used to tell me, oh yeah, well I'm constantly praying in tongues. She's making banana bread, or she's doing something. She was like, I just always pray in tongues in my head. And so then as I was growing up, but now I often feel like it's just running like a loop tape in the back of my mind. And not all the time. But when it is there, I can tell you I feel a lot more full of the armor of God. Ready for, you know, because otherwise if you don't, there's a lot of other things that are poking back there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's it's like,
well, pray, continue.
Yeah. Anyway. It might come. That's amazing how you can lose something in a second and a half.
Common occurrence.
I find I'm good at losing it really quickly.
You know, you were talking before about it's coming. I think it's here. We just have to have the faith, and we have to step out and claim it, because it is here now. It's not coming. It's here. This is how I feel, you know. And I just need to step out in it every day.
I agree.
It's going to come if that's how I think, but I need to think it's here now. I need to feel it here now, and I need it to be now. And that's how I need to speak also. That needs to come out of my mouth every day. It's here. I'm not looking for it because it's here. I just need to take it.
Now, we keep repeating ourselves, all of us, like, no, God is going to do this. God is going to.
He's doing it.
Yeah, the Bible says God did it. God already did it. It's all done. The Bible is already written. There's no new pages to my Bible. No, it's already written. It's written. It's done. The work of God is done.
Absolutely.
We have to jump into it. Okay.
We have to believe that.
We have to believe it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that might be a process, but as we're talking, maybe not. You
yes.
know?
Claim it.
Yes.
That's
good.
No, it's so. The praying in tongues, the greatest thing about it is it has nothing to do with your natural.
Right.
Well, that's the same thing when it says the Holy Spirit will teach you. When you realize that you don't have to do anything to be taught except to listen and want to be a little child to hear from God. So it's like God is, those two aspects are taking you totally away from your natural side of things. And making it spiritual. And that's, I think, what is just a, I think that's what God, you know, that's the greatest thing he wants is to get us out of the way and let him do what he's working on.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, that, hearing that the Holy Spirit could teach, that so set me free, made me free, you know? I don't have to sit and study, I don't have to go to Bible study, I just have to listen to the Word of God. Believe that he wants to teach me and you, all of us. And if you do that as a little child, he will not do that. He will do it.
From the use of the words, I was just saying, we're banging against this. This isn't our intellect. We can't
right.
pray ourselves. We got to come as little children. He will do it. It's like, so, you know, one of my favorite lines is, I keep minimizing me and I keep elevating God and I keep moving in the right direction. The more I make me less important, the more I make him more important. Kind of, there's a song has a line like that that's pretty hot on my mind right now. So, the revelation of who he is and who we are.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but did I kind
of
help you out?
No.
I didn't want to lose it.
Was that the scripture setting you were thinking of?
I think so, yeah.
Well, it's interesting because Barb was making this comment about the Spirit discerns. It's just a few verses down from 1 Corinthians 2. So if you read all the way to 2:14, it says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Mm-hmm.
So your homework from today is to go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There's
the whole.
There's some meat in there.
Feed your spirit.
Feed your spirit.
Feed your spirit. For whatever it's for. It doesn't have to be like it happened to me, but I did not speak in tongues for maybe 20 years before I started speaking in tongues, or maybe like longer, I don't know. Since I became a Christian, I wanted to get it out for some, you know, over 20 years. So it took a while. Now, I'm not encouraging you. I'm not saying so in 20 years, you guys. It can be any time. But not because you don't speak in tongues today means that you're not speaking in tongues or that whatever. Yes, I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good point.
It seems to me, years ago, everybody in this church will be done. Unless I was deceived, and it's just that what we did. You know, if we didn't understand it, or well, because we
It was easier.
I think it seemed like everybody was, because there was some really loud ones.
Yeah.
So it just seemed like the whole room was filled with everybody.
Well,
I can remember as a child the loudest ones. and they're dumb.
Yeah, Lindsay is the same. They're all trying to get
above
each other. I mean, yeah. Some will start and then some will get louder and some will, and it was like, you know, like, this group and that group, or just.
Yeah.
When it was
folding all that
time.
Yeah, beautiful.
Well, I had a thought about that when Pablo gave that testimony that it, you know, he's different. And I thought, well, what if, you know, say at the end of the service when it's not the body necessarily and we want to pray, and if we want to pray for somebody, what if we all just prayed in tongues?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, because we know not what to pray, but he gives us utterance. What would that do? You know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But sometime here, I hope we find out and try it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, like, yeah, and not try to outdo each other or anything. But, and I think we're a lot more tempered in all of that these days, you know. That we respect one another and everything, but just to have that focused prayer that we're saying, God, give us what to pray. And then if you get something to pray in English, then pray it. You know, because that happens a lot of times too.
Amen.
You know, you get discernment or you get interpretation, and you know, a lot of us are thinking, we are wanting to see all the gifts to be happening.
Yes.
And if we seek that, God won't deny it, I don't think. So.
I've got kind of a little funny testimony in a way. A friend of mine had her fingers, she had three, what's it called, stents put down.
Pins, two pins.
Two pins or something stuck down into her finger because it had broken wrong and they had to replace it and set it and put these pins all the way in, and it looked so painful to me. But as we were leaving, I said, let me pray for you. So I prayed for her finger. She called me up a couple of days ago. She said, your prayer did not get answered. And she said, I had to go have the pins taken out. I said, my prayer was too answered. I prayed for your pins to be removed. Because she had an infection, and they had to take the pins out. But I told her, yeah, my prayer was answered, just not the way you wanted it. Right. But it was kind of funny in a way, and she still is laughing about it, of course, because she knows that I pray all the time, and she appreciates my prayers. God's going to answer the way
right,
he's going to answer,
right.
Not mine.
I knew there was some infection in there before she did.
Right.
Before the doctor did.
Yeah.
My mommy's, you know, praying for me. You know, yeah, I pray every day. So like 4 days ago, sore. Oh, you're praying? Yeah. And she says, there's this prayer that you pray that is for your kids. So if you don't pray for your kids, you repeat this. I said, Mom. Mom, I said,
No more.
Mom, don't pray that prayer. From now on, pray like you talk to God. Pray your own prayer. Pray your own words. And you know what? I don't know, but that's a huge difference for the spiritual world. But it is a difference because now you're praying sincerely. You're not repeating some stupid thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't repeat stuff, but anyway, so she's been praying, and I ask her every day, every morning. And I got to call her in the morning and at night so she can still be, you know, breathing. And I call her in the morning, you know, and then in the evening, I say, Mom, you know, are you praying? Yes, she says, all the time. And so you pray your own prayer? Yes, since you told me I'm praying my own prayer, brother. And, you know, and I think I'm feeling better every day. I was hard to explain, but I was getting really bad. I think slowly now it's getting
And anyways, I praise God for that. And I, that's all.
Oh, got a comment when you're talking about praying in unison with a bunch of people. You know, I mean, when you're all praying in a nice, quiet voice, and then somebody starts getting louder, next guy gets louder, next guy gets louder, who are you edifying?
Right.
You know, it's more of a competition thing, I think, than, you know.
Yeah, God's got pretty good ears. You can hear everything.
He hears you before you pray.
That's right. Yeah, that's the point.
He heard you before you start talking.
Mm-hmm. You know, I bet you that's going to have an effect on your mother, I think.
What?
Her praying like that.
Yes.
I think it's going to affect her.
It's going to have to.
Yeah.
It has to.
Yeah, to break out of that mold that's created by the church.
Yeah,
certain churches.
They're going to be here a week from Wednesday, Thursday. They'll be here. Miguel and Becky will be here for 3 weeks. I'm hoping Pablo's a little bit more mobile by then. Otherwise, it's I told him we don't really do anything.
We can bring you just a tad more.
Right. And Miguel said, no, God, be less than I ever talked to him. He said, we're so excited, we're going to just come and sit and comfort and strength and joy and talk. And they don't really care, you know. His mom will probably be outside in her pajamas weeding. Susan will let you know. But otherwise, she's...
I'll probably join her.
Yeah. But they're happy, just content. Miguel's very, you know, content. But usually I'm the big server and I make all the meals and he loves my cooking, you know, whatever, but some of us aren't eating very much. Our diet consists of like 8 foods, and so then mine is less, so you know, that would be a little different. But otherwise, just a good, you know, most of the time they've been here, he works all day long, so then it's me with them all day long. We got on his computer and his mom just busy doing nothing, and so that will be
different.
Yeah. Just
God's got a plan.
Sit and talk.
God has a plan.
For the first time, every time they've come, he's working all day, and then he comes home.
But God's got a plan. And they're coming because God's planning it. Look at it that way.
They weren't going to come. We were supposed to go there this Christmas. They weren't going to be coming at all this summer. But once all this happened, she was like, well, she wanted to come in June. And he was like, Mom, no, I can't do anything, and I'm, you know, half paralyzed. So she said, okay, we'll come in July, which he got a little anxious about, just having his mom, you know.
Trust in the Lord.
Yeah. So I don't think you're anxious now, are you?
That's not us.
Not so much.
That's not so much. We'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, God can do a great thing by just sitting. He does.
Mm-hmm.
He's working even then. If you're doing nothing, he's still working.
His mom would be able to dote on him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll
take him and pray for him. We love you all.